Good morning. Happy Easter. The call to worship's in the bulletin, but I don't think you'll need it. Join me, please. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Christus ist auferstanden.
Er ist auferstanden.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Thank you. We'll be singing Christ the Lord is risen today from the Brown Hymnal. Number 179, we'll sing all the verses. On this sunny Easter morning, may the Lord bless us as we worship and praise God together. Are there any guests in our midst who would like to be introduced? If not, be welcome. There are many announcements in the bulletin. Please avail yourself of the bulletin. However, I would like to highlight a few. Our condolences go out to Jake Toews and his family and friends on the passing of his wife, Cecile Toews, age 75, on Monday, March 30th. Funeral services will be held tomorrow here at our church at 11 a.m., with a luncheon immediately following. We extend our sincere sympathies and pray for God's comfort on the family. We pray also for Gary and Donna Hebert as they deal with the last of Gary's cancer treatments. I'm sure they're happy that those are going to be done. Please also keep Louise and Rudy Lage in your prayers as Louise continues the slow process of healing. Once again, they are not quite yet ready for visitors. There are a few announcements that didn't quite make it into the bulletin due to the long weekend. The Willing Helpers meet tomorrow at church at 7 p.m. In addition, the willing helpers who have participated in programs at Batania are welcome to an annual Volunteer Recognition Awards luncheon at Batania House on April 16th. Please contact Sarah Cowenhoen for that. And I'm sure that announcement will be in the bulletin next week. In addition, just a few others to highlight. Announcement number 4, the 50s and 60s gathering on April 12th. Those 50s and 60s, that's ages, not a theme party. In addition, next Saturday, there's a constitutional meeting at 10 a.m. Please be there. I'm presuming we need quorum to vote on the constitution, so. In addition, number 6, there's a Youth Progressive Supper. Again, the details are in the bulletin. I also wanted to pause and just comment on the theme. The theme is commented on the bulletin, but it's joy and light that Jesus brings. And I wanted to thank Elizabeth Franz-Workentine, Carrie Martins, and Janet Peters for all the lovely banners and the lovely displays that we've had during Lent and during Easter. And I certainly hope I haven't forgotten anybody. Moving on to a sharing time. There's a roving mic, I'm sure. Does anyone wish to share today? I don't see any hands, so I'm going to take the worship leader's prerogative and just share a little bit about Melanie Gaudreau, my sister-in-law. Many of you are still asking, so I think it would be appropriate for me to comment on that. If you recall, last Easter I actually was worship leader and shared as well, and at that point we were commenting about the miracle that had occurred and is still occurring to this day. For those of you who don't know, my sister-in-law came back January of 2014 from Cambodia, and shortly after was in a coma for several weeks, and gradually came out of the coma to the point where she was actually able to leave hospital in July. At one point she was in such a deep coma we weren't sure if there was any brain activity or whether or not she'd be blind and paralyzed for life, but in fact she came out and is now able to walk unaided, and is able to go to Jamaica with her husband just a week or so ago. She's still in a lot of pain, a lot of neurological pain in her face, and she still has some speech issues, but all in all, she's 95% recovered, and we certainly praise God for the miracle of her recovery. Can we please bow for prayer? O God, with faces touched by the light of a new day, and hearts warmed by the hope and joy of your resurrection, we come before you to pray for the needs of the world. Into the light of this Easter morning, we raise those who are struggling with illness and despair over their lives or with the breakdown of relationships. We pray especially for the family of Cecile Taves as they mourn, as well as for Gary and Donna Hebert and Louise and Rudy Lage as they deal with illness, and for those in personal care homes. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of this Easter morning, we bring before you those places in our world where war, violence, poverty, and need are the experiences of everyday life, such as in Syria and the lands touched by violent hatred of ISIS. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of this Easter morning, we bring the headline news of this week. We hold in our hearts the pain of those suffering violence, bereavement, or conflict, such as the families of the German Wings passengers and the families of the troubled pilot. May the light of Christ shine upon them. Into the light of this Easter morning, we bring ourselves, the private struggles, the heart's yearnings, the hidden dreams, the unfulfilled potential. May the light of Christ shine upon us. May the light of Christ shine upon us. Amen.
We want to join our voices together in song one more time. This time you're going to need 2 books. So one is your German hymnal, number 99, In finstere Gruft erlag. The other one is the blue hymnal, 273. So if you have a partner, you want to each hold a book, something like that. We're going to sing, or if you know the German verse by memory, you don't even need the book. We're singing verse 1 of number 99 in German, and then verse 2 and 3 in the blue hymnal, number 273. And we're going to stand again because I can't sing this song sitting down.
I love that song. That's my very favorite song. And it's kind of like what I was going to talk about today before I even knew that was the song. How many of you were here on Good Friday? Good Friday was like sort of the first part of that song, right? Kind of slow and dark. And why do you think Good Friday was that way? If you were here, why do you think? Yeah. Jesus died, and it was kind of sad. Now, if you look around the church today, does this look like a sad room? What kind of things have we done to make the room feel not so sad, Rhea? The lights are on. They weren't on Friday. Yep. That great big white banner. Why do you suppose that banner is white and not black? Astrid. White is happy, yes. White is clean. White is a new start. White is my name. Yeah. Yeah, Frau White, exactly. What else do you see in the church that makes it not a happier place today? Yes. We're singing, yes, the songs. Right from the beginning, the songs this morning were happy songs. If we were here on Friday, we kind of sang songs that were slow and low. And today the choir started with a loud, happy, high voice song. It was great. Jaylin. there's golden and white on the cross. On Friday it was purple, kind of to symbolize the robe that they put on Jesus just before they killed him. Why do you think it's white today again? We talked about white before. Yeah. He rose. That's right. We said that right first this morning. Mr. Zacharias was at the front and he said, Christ is risen. And what did we all say? Can you help me out? He is risen indeed. That means, yep, for sure. He's up. So, there's lots of symbols, and some of you have probably had an Easter egg hunt this morning. Have you had an Easter egg hunt? I don't know if you remember, last year I came with, and I said it was a real Easter egg. Does anyone remember why it was a real Easter egg? Jacob, do you remember why it was a real Easter egg? Well, it was real because it was empty. Why do you think an Easter egg has to be empty? Caleb. No, you don't kill the animal inside it. You're getting close. Jalen, or Rhea. Okay, I'll help you out. The egg has to be empty because how was the tomb on Easter morning? The tomb was empty. So you're all going to get an egg today, and I brought lots. Now, I'm sorry. I was supposed to give you an empty egg, but I can't. So there are chocolates in it. But when you eat the chocolate, you will still have an empty egg. And from now on, for the rest of your life, when you see an empty egg, you can remember that's because the tomb is empty. Wonderful. So if you want, you can share the chocolate with someone you love or someone you don't know very well. But keep the empty egg to remind yourself that Jesus is risen. And now you say, He is risen indeed. Super. Let's bow for prayer. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose. You came, you conquered. Amen. Help yourself to an egg and make it empty.
Last night I lay asleeping, there came a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing, and ever as they sang, methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Methought the voice of angels from heaven an answer rang. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to your King. And then methought my dream was changed, the street no longer rang. Hushed were the glad hosannas, the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, the moon was cold and chill, as the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose once again the scene was changed. New earth has seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the tideless sea. The light of God was on its streets. The gates were open wide. And oh, might enter under no one worthy light. No need of a moon or stars by night, or sun to shine by day. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the
Scripture reading from John 20, verse 1 to 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had risen from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni, teacher!" Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them he had said these things to her.
Thank you. I know we're in Mennonites, but this is Easter. Have you been listening to the music? If we can't clap, we at least need to holler hallelujah, okay? My goodness. The choir and Betty and the organ and the double bass. Maybe one day you'll be tall enough to... Piano. We were quiet on Good Friday. Today, we don't have to be. So, for all those involved with the music, thank you so much for allowing Easter to pour out of you so that we can experience that. And Frau White, never thought of her, connected her with Easter before, but from now on, the Easter lady has got some interesting characters to hang out with, doesn't she? Easter Bunny. Anyhow. So, Easter is a game changer. It redefines everything that happens before that and that happened after that. It's all changed. Until Easter, death had the last word. Always. Until Easter. And all of a sudden, death doesn't have the last word, and the impossible happens. In fact, after Easter, the impossible becomes normative. That's how things go in the kingdom of God. Jesus came to change things. We look back at the story of his birth. There he is with angel choirs and celestial bodies lining up and kings getting ripped off. Not a lot of people get to do that on their birth. There he is. Something different's going on here. And he tells us what it is when he gets baptized. In Mark 1:15, he says to John the Baptist, "The kingdom of God is at hand." Something new is coming on stream, and it's going to be different. It's going to change everything. Jesus is asked about that by Pilate at the end of his life as well. And Jesus says, yes, it's a different kind of a kingdom, but yes, I'm a king. Now, he didn't try and take on the Romans, left them alone. Didn't really do much with the Jewish religious leaders or social leaders as well. Left them alone. So where's his kingdom? And the kingdom connects at the very base of who we are, the people. It changes people so that they become somebody different. Like the woman at the well in John 4. She came to the well, nobody wanted to talk to her. She couldn't get a man to save her life. It was just miserable. And she encounters Jesus and she feels affirmed and whole. Or Zacchaeus, trying to be somebody, trying to be a big man by climbing a tree and ripping people off. And he was unhappy and he encounters Jesus and it all changes. He becomes a person who is content and generous, a different person altogether. And that's the way that Jesus changes. That's the kingdom he brings in. And we look through the stories of the Gospels. There's the people who were blind and sick and foreigners and everybody else. When they meet Jesus, all of a sudden, they change. It's different. It's a miracle. They change into something they never would have imagined. I'm sure all of Zacchaeus' family go, "What? He's doing what? Giving his money away? Can't be." Never expected this. They said, "Impossible." And there he is, changing. Jesus came to bring in a kingdom which changes us at the very core of who we are. The resurrection is right in keeping with his whole ministry. That's part of the kingdom of God. He lived, he taught people, then he died. We expected death to hold him. No, it doesn't. And he rises again. And he said, see, that's part of what the kingdom does. It takes death away as the last word. The story that James read from John is a wonderful story. We have three people responding to the empty tomb. Not quite as cool as the 20 we had responding up here, but not bad. So one of the ones that responded was Peter. So Peter comes lumbering up to the tomb and just kind of bursts in there. He's an impetuous, get-her-done kind of guy. You see what is and what is what you see. There's none of this fishy business out there. He was a fisherman. I thought you might need some help with that. And he looks around and he says, empty grave clothes, empty tomb. I don't get it. And he walks away. You know, he'd seen all these miracles. He'd walked on water. You'd think, You should get this, right? Nah. Nada. He walks away. Oh, I don't know what happened. The next one in is John. John sits at the outside. He walks in and he looks. And he's a careful guy. He pays attention. Empty grave clothes, empty tomb. He rose. He'd been listening to Jesus. He watched all these miracles and says, this guy does something outside of the rules here. And he'd been listening to Jesus saying over and over and over again, I'm going to die and rise again. And he puts it together. Oh, yeah, that's what happened. What he said would happen. And then comes Mary. Most of us are like Mary. We're not quite as shut it out as Peter, or we get it in the first go around. At least I don't. And Mary came along, saw the empty tomb, and says, somebody must have stolen him. Gets two guys there, no help. And so she looks in, empty grave clothes, empty tomb. Where'd they take him? Then she sees angels. We go, she's going to get it now, right? Angels. Not many of us see angels. No, they said, why are you crying? She said, they took him away. She doesn't get it. Turns around, sees Jesus. She's talked to Jesus like a million times in her life. She can't miss this one, can she? Oh, yes, she can. Her brain is just not letting this happen, saying, Jesus can raise from the dead. That's impossible. She sees Jesus and says, must be one of the lookalikes I hear about, right? And she says, where did you take him? And he finally has to say to her, hello, it's me, Mary. And she goes, really? And she gets it. And all of a sudden, things come clear to her. Like a lot of us, it takes a little bit of shaking for God to finally get through to us. So what does this mean for us? What does it mean for us that there is an Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead? It means that the kingdom comes to us as well. Now, as a church, we've always said we believe, and there's lots of creeds out there that says we believe in Jesus, Son of God, rose from the dead. We say the words, but we don't live like that. We say, well, we live in a world where sin is still going around. We've got to kind of put up with that and work around it. And one day, people read Revelation with one eye shut. One day they say, there's going to be a big battle and God's going to finally beat the devil and then the kingdom of God is here. It's not what the Bible says. Jesus said he came to bring the kingdom of God. Revelation says, chapter 13, if you want to check it out, it says that the battle for supremacy happened where? On the cross, this thing's not hiding it. On the cross. It's done. He won. It's over. Not complete yet. I don't know if you've watched the or read the Chronicles of Narnia on the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. It's also a movie. It's always winter and never Christmas until Aslan comes along. And then all of a sudden, Christmas comes and they see spring coming and people begin to imagine what was impossible to imagine a little while ago. It's not summer yet, but they're living as if it's there. Everything changes. And that's how it is with Jesus. He brings in the kingdom. The whole thing is coming at the end of time. This thing about taking care of sickness and all that kind of stuff. But for now, the kingdom is here and it makes the impossible possible. So we look around at our world and we say, where's the kingdom of God? We look at the news, we see war everywhere, not only in Syria and Iraq, but in Ukraine and in Libya and in all sorts of places in the world, there's war going on. Where's the kingdom of God? It's supposed to be here. What did Jesus say? He says, love your enemies. And as we begin to love our enemies, what happens to wars? When your enemy turns into your brother or sister, the wars disappear. And we see that happening all over the place as people let go of their anger and bitterness and enemies become our brothers and sisters in Christ. I am always amazed at the story of Corrie Ten Boom. She was in the prison camps in Germany in World War II. She wrote a book and she came to forgive the people who had done all these terrible things to her. Not just the system, but she tells the story of encountering one of the guards one day in the U.S. And she sat down with him and through tears said, I forgive you. That's what Easter is about. I hear the same thing when I hear some of you talking about your experience in Russia, telling about how, what terrible things happened there. The starvation, the family taken away and never seen again, all sorts of bad things. And yet there's a sense of letting that go. I talked to one person from the church here who said, if I met the people who did that to me, I think I'd ask them out for coffee. Wow. You people get it. That's what the resurrection does. In the news lately, there's been stories about Wilma Dirksen. Do you remember how, I don't know, was 25 years ago, her daughter, 30 years ago, thanks Kim, 30 years ago, her daughter Candace was killed. And she struggled with coming to a point of forgiving this person. They didn't know who it was. She wrote a book, very interesting book. They found the person, she had to process it again, and now it's up for review whether, you know, they're going to retry him and again. But every time she works it through and she comes to the point of saying, I forgive. I'm willing to let go. I'm not going to harbor anger and bitterness. That's what happens with war in the New Kingdom. We don't get out there with a more powerful army and stomp on the people. We get them from the inside. And we change them. And we say, you can't hate me because I love you. And you're my sister or my brother. So let's go for coffee. Or hunger. Currently in the world, there are 800 million people who are chronically undernourished. 800 million. That's 11.5% of the world's population, if you want to do some quick math. Say, where's the New Kingdom? All these people are out there starving. Doesn't God care? Don't we care? And then we take a look at the way that Jesus reached out to these people and cared about them, and the way that ever since the Christian church has been caring, others as well, but we've been caring within the city here. We have a number of food banks and soup kitchens, many of them carrying the name of Christ, who reach out not because people have to or they feel guilty or their mother told them to, but because something changed inside and they want to, the love of Christ compels them, and they can get out there and serve soup. Every 2 weeks in this church, Winnipeg Harvest sets up shop and a bunch of people from different churches get together. And there's over 100 families, who are fed from this church. Isn't that wonderful? Why? Because Easter happened is why. There's a community kitchen here where people are not only taught how to make good and nutritious food from very little, they're given dignity and respect. That's what the New Kingdom does. Or we can take a look at racism. Racism seems to be growing. There's a growing neo-Nazi movement in some parts of Europe. There seems to be an anti-Islamic thing growing in North America. People seem to hate people who are different language, different background, different religion, different anything different. And I don't like you because you're them and you're not us and you're not me. And when we take a look at the story of Jesus, we see that addressed as well. We see that Jesus is out there not only with the religious leaders. He's a rabbi. He shouldn't hang around with riffraff. And he specializes in riffraff. He's out there with foreigners and with women and with children and with sick people and with ordinary people. And he welcomes them in and he treats them with dignity and respect. He treats them as people that are created in the image of God. Well, you start treating people like that and you try and be racist. Doesn't work. And that's how the New Kingdom gets rid of racism. And there are so many things that we could add on here for all the brokenness in the world. We see Jesus coming along and offering an impossible solution, which works. It works. It comes even closer. It comes to us here in our church, in our families, and in our lives. Because of Easter, because he's risen, we can begin to repair broken relationships. Marriages that have become just so-so, or families that don't like each other, and friends that have been friends for years and quit talking to each other. Guess what? We can repair that. The impossible can happen because of Easter. That's the new kingdom. The new kingdom says we can put that back together. We can learn to love each other again. It can happen. Or forgiveness. We've been hurt by people. They've said terrible things. They've taken advantage of us. They've pushed us away. Maybe it's our ex. And we say, I will tolerate them on the world, earth. I will not go and hunt them down like a dog and shoot them. But I want nothing to do with them. I hate them for the rest of my life. Well, guess what? There's something called forgiveness that Jesus brings. I'm not talking about the cheap, yeah, fine, already I forgive you and I'll go away stuff. I'm talking about the stuff where we roll up our sleeves and we sit down and said, let's have a conversation. You hurt me. And I miss you. There's something in my life that's missing. And sometimes we can't back things up all the way. If a marriage has come unraveled and it's done, it's done. But we can come to the point of forgiving and letting go. I was chatting with somebody the other day about this. Who is it that's hurt when we won't forgive? If somebody has hurt us, and we are going to make sure that we do not give them the privilege of experiencing our forgiveness, who is it that suffers? It's us. Because when we carry a lack of forgiveness in us, I'm not saying that the other person is right. We're probably 100% right. All I'm saying is, people, we don't have to carry that. We can let it go. Impossible. Of course it's impossible. So is this. And it can happen. That's part of the new kingdom of God. Or selfishness and greed. We look after ourselves, right? We don't need to worry about all those other people. Well, within the context of the church, we can begin to become generous, not only with our money, that's good too, but generous with our inclusion, generous with our forgiveness, generous with our compliments. And so when there are people doing things, you go over to them and say, thank you. Thank you for the amazing way that you played piano today. Thank you for singing. Thank you for being an usher. You know what? I heard something about you the other day. What an amazing person you are. I'm just so glad that I'm in a church with you. Be generous and reach out to people. When we say on Sunday, on Easter morning, Christ is risen, what we're saying is the impossible can happen. And when we say he is risen indeed, we're saying, and I'm living proof of that. Look at what the resurrection has done in me. Jesus has risen. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Amen.
If you would take your brown hymnals once again, number 565. 565. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And I will ask you to stand one more time.
Peace.
people for whom Christ not only died but rose again. People who are invited to be a part of this new kingdom of the impossible. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
Please turn in your hymnal, a worship book, the blue hymnal, to number 288. And please stand. The choir will be singing verse 1, 2, and 3, and we'll ask you to sing verse 4 in unison, please.
Sweet.